We got some comings and goings in the NBA. Maybe some new COVID testing rules for the NHL. Big ACC basketball games tonight for both UNC and Duke. And, well, Cliff Kingsbury, buddy, what would you say is going on in the second half of the season? Oh, since 2013. Yikes. Let's get to what's trending. At Geico, you have a choice of ways you could save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online at geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you.
Number five.
All right, so everyone's mad at the Lakers, Rand. I'm sure you're not following this, but even Magic Johnson was coming down on them last week after they had lost three straight. They've lost their way a little bit. They can't quite get healthy. Anthony Davis can't get out there with LeBron James.
You mean street clothes?
Yeah, LeBron's been fine. Russell Westbrook has actually been fine. He's not the Russell Westbrook who closed last year. He's not the Russell Westbrook who won the MVP with the Oklahoma City Thunder. But there's always an adjustment when you go and play with LeBron. We've seen this before. People who want to get rid of Russell Westbrook, listen, who do you think they're going to get that's going to fit with him magically in 2 weeks or whatever, in a month before the playoffs? The Lakers need Anthony Davis to be healthy, number one. Number two, give him a little bit of time. Do you know what could help, though?
What's that?
A little shot of confidence. Last night, Lakers beat Utah at home 101-95. And I'm not so sure if Russ didn't figure something out last night, Rand.
Lakers with the ball. Utah now. Their bench is just 2 out of 12 from beyond the arc.
Russ! Throw it down! Throw it down, Russ!
Getting into the paint and then exploding. Did he ever explode over the top of Gobert? Oh, wow. That's just a monster dunk by Russell Westbrook. This is one of those.
Yes. He dunked over the best defensive player in the NBA in Rudy Gobert. Like I said, Lakers win 101-95. Not the greatest all-time game from Russell Westbrook. Okay, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Still can't quite find the three-point shot, which has been the biggest knock on him. 1 of 4 from 3. But the Lakers end up winning the game, an important game. It's also the regular season. Right now, the Lakers are at 7 in the West. All they need to do is put together a decent run, get in the top 6, get out of the play-in round, put themselves in a position where they don't have to see Phoenix in the first round. That would be helpful. If they can get to the 6th spot, they could avoid the Warriors and the Suns in the first round. These are good things. All I'm saying is, you can have a play like that where a dunk and you get over a guy like Gobert. That's the kind of moment in a season that could potentially turn for the Lakers. They're 22-22 right now. We're not even to February yet. Okay? Let's relax with the let's dump everybody on the Lakers. Here's a better idea. Let's just have everyone on the Lakers get healthy. How about that? Next up, Brandon.
Number four.
Speaking of having everyone healthy and ready to go, maybe one of these days, that'll be the Carolina Hurricanes. One of these days. They play the Boston Bruins tonight on the road, 7 o'clock. You can listen to that right here on 99.9 The Fan. Alec Campbell will have Stormwatch starting at 6:30. And then, of course, the aftermath. Canes will be missing Marty Natchez, their talented winger, on the COVID list. When's the last time they had their full lineup, Rand? I mean, it's only
2020,
been,
I guess. No, I'm kidding.
It hasn't been but a handful of games last year. It hasn't stopped the Hurricanes, of course. They're 25-8-2 on the season. And some update from ESPN. According to ESPN, Emily Kaplan, the NHL plans to stop testing asymptomatic players and staff members following the All-Star break, according to sources. The NHL and NHLPA have reached an agreement on the matter. The sides will meet again later this month to assess the climate and formalize. The NHL will still test all players and staffers before they cross border travel between the U.S. and Canada. Players who show symptoms will also be required to test. Remember, the NHL now has a good chunk of 2-3 weeks worth of games across the board that they're going to need to make up. There's supposed to be a winter break for the Winter Olympics. That break won't happen. The Hurricanes are among the teams that need to play catch up. And it'll be interesting to see how these leagues adjust and what they know and what the data that they've been able to learn from about asymptomatic players and the transmission of COVID-19. So these are all good things. We saw the NFL at the end try to make an adjustment. Who knows what's going on with the NCAA, right? Did anybody miss the national championship game between Georgia and Alabama?
I don't think so.
No, they didn't. Weird.
So are you saying that the NCAA, we haven't heard anything? There's no leadership there?
Listen, obviously it's not the beginning of the pandemic anymore. We have more information. I think this is a positive step by the NHL. Get more information. Use the information that you have to make more informed decisions about who can play and who can't play. Again, Canes play Boston tonight on the road. You can listen to that game here, but they won't have Marty Natchez. He's on the COVID-19 list. Next up, Rand.
Number three.
Speaking of information about the pandemic and COVID-19 and vaccinations, Kyrie Irving is now insisting, standing on his principles, which I can admire, not going to get the vaccine. Well, why is this different from a week ago? Well, Irving's come back and played in four games. He has decided he's going to play in the road games. Not decided. He wants to play in the games, but in the state of New York, he's not allowed to play at the Nets' home games in Brooklyn. So he's come back on a part-time basis. In the interim, on Saturday night, Kevin Durant ends up injuring his knee. Kevin Durant has been the MVP of the NBA thus far this season. The Nets have the third best record in the East, despite not having Irving, Durant, and James Harden on the floor at the same time, but for what, three games, two games, if that. So the Nets aren't the team they thought they could be, in part because Irving has refused to get the vaccine. Now, with Durant's injury, he's out 4 to 6 weeks. Just as I said, it's the regular season. Does it really matter? What matters is staying in the top six. What matters in the East, actually, what matters, since they are the team you'd want to avoid, as long as they stay in the top six, they're fine. They're the number three seed right now. Most important to them is getting a healthy Kevin Durant. I can understand what Kyrie Irving's saying here, but he's not backing off his principled stance of not getting the vaccine.
To change your stance, because Kevin's going to be out potentially for a couple months, and the team needs you.
See, that's what I feel like ends up coming into a lot of this culture of basketball and sports and entertainment is you bring in the team and you bring in situations that we're in, and Kev's going to heal. Kev's going to be okay, you know, and we're going to have to deal with that as his teammates. But in terms of where I am with my life outside of this, I stay rooted in my decision, and that's just what it is.
Do you think there's anything that would sway your decision?
What do you mean?
To get this shot.
Why do you keep asking me that?
Because that's what everybody wants to know.
Who's everybody?
There are millions of basketball fans.
I love that response.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
there are millions.
Want to know if you're going to take
the shot
to be able to play at home.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Basketball fans.
That's what I'm saying.
You're bringing like my vaccination status into a basketball game. And it's like, I live my life majority of the time when I'm away from this. So when I say I'm not getting vaccinated and I'm making a choice with my life, somehow it gets mixed into, well, what about basketball stuff? It's like, no, bro. Like, we live in a real world. This is great to be able to do this. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I love being with my teammates. I love playing on the Nets. But I've already been away enough time to think about this, to process it, to be able to make this decision, stand strong, understand that people are going to agree and some people are going to disagree. The circumstances that are at hand, I'm praying that they get changed and we're able to do things differently. And that's not just for me. That's for all those that are dealing with being unvaccinated and getting fired from work on a day-to-day basis. It's not just about me. That's been my message this whole time. So though I feel your feeling and emotion asking that question, it's just like sometimes it feels a little disrespectful. Like, I'm not just a basketball player, bro. I'm not. Millions of fans, I appreciate all of it, but it's not just about the game.
It's fairly clear that it's not about the game. It's also fairly clear Kyrie doesn't have a great understanding of the real world. He makes $34 million to play basketball, but is only willing to play part-time basketball this season. That's not the real road, Kyrie. I do appreciate his principled stance. He's saying, I'm not getting vaccinated. This is not Aaron Rodgers. He's not saying he's allergic to something. He's basically saying, I don't want the government telling me what to do. I get that. I understand what you're saying. I also understand what the cost is. Because you are being paid to play basketball, and ostensibly you're being paid to win championships. You left Cleveland and LeBron for your own legacy because you thought you could win on your own. You went to Boston. That didn't happen. And at Boston, you realized, even though Jason Tatum was there, that you couldn't connect with a younger generation of players, and you realized you needed more help to win. So what did you do? You end up going from Boston, where you had a great young nucleus that you could not shepherd because they had no interest in following you. You end up going to Brooklyn with Kevin Durant. That was a conscious choice that you guys made together. You only have so many chances now, Kyrie. This is you teamed up with Kevin Durant, and I admire your principle, but think about it this way. Kevin Durant tears an Achilles in the 2019 NBA Finals. He could not play in 2020. Didn't matter what was going to happen. So whoever ended up signing him was going to have to pay him for a year of not playing basketball. That's what the Nets did. They gave him a four-year deal, knowing full well he could not play in the first year. Doesn't play in 20. 21, he comes back, was dominant, was a really good player, but not, we didn't see, well, I think it was 9 total games that we saw with Harden, Durant, and Kyrie together. The super team didn't quite come together in the Voltron style. That being said, they reached the conference finals. They lose to Milwaukee because Kevin Durant wears the wrong shoe size. Because his foot was on the three-point line, they end up winning the game, but losing the series. Crazy. 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 Crazy when you think about it. We're year 3 into that 4-year deal. Now he has a hurt knee that's not going to be surgically repaired. What I'm getting at here is you only have so many chances, and you're running out of those chances. Because very first thing he said was Kevin's going to be okay. Is he? We don't know that. We don't know that. So if you're the Nets, and I get it, the Nets don't really have fans, so we don't. They have fake fans, right? They're in Brooklyn. They're not the Knicks. No, there aren't. Isn't like the Buffalo Bills, who's being,
people didn't
taken advantage.
People didn't follow them from Jersey.
No, no one did. Nobody did. But from his own perspective, right? You're with LeBron. You win a championship with LeBron in Cleveland, and then you decide, no, that wasn't good enough. I want to do this on my own. Okay. There's a Pac Pro involved there, by the way. That was Carl Lentz, the former NC State walk-on. He became a superstar pastor in a church in New York. And he is like the pastor to the stars. Kevin Durant's one of them. Kyrie Irving's one of them. Carl Lentz is the one who told him to go out on his own and do his own thing. You can always trace it back to those Pac Pros. You can always chase it back. So the Nets not going to have Durant for 4 to 6 weeks. Doesn't sound like they're going to have Kyrie Irving at home at any point until if New York changes their COVID regulations. Next one, Ren.
Number 2.
We got 2 good ACC basketball games tonight. And I'm trying to remain in love with ACC basketball. I really am. North Carolina at Miami. Feel pretty strong that I can name 3 players from Miami without the box score in front of me.
Chris Likes.
No.
Ah, oh, dang. I'm out.
No. They got Cam Augusti, Isaiah Wong, and Charlie Moore is their transfer, who's been at like 5 different schools, but has really kind of come on. That's really been the big difference for them as they've gained steam. They win the game at Duke, obviously. They've won a bunch of other games, too. The game at State, let's not forget. The game they played State at home, they're down 8 in the second half to come back and win that game. They've had some close calls. They've had the confidence because they have those older guards who can close out games. It's a Styles make fights tonight against Carolina, who they have Armando Bacot in the middle. I don't think Miami has a 1-for-1 answer for that. They have Sam Wardenburg. Not sure that's going to get it done for them. Carolina, it's going to be about their guards tonight. And every big game we see Carolina in so far, we can go back and circle the same two things. How will they be defensively, and what will their two young guards, they're still young, RJ Davis and Caleb Love, how will they handle the moment on the road? I'll say this for Carolina. This is not a Q1 game tonight because Miami's not in the top 75 of the net. They're 82. I do believe by the end of the season, Miami will be in the top 75. So this will be one of those Q1 opportunities. And you can say, well, what does Q1 mean? What does that matter? They're Carolina. They're getting into the tournament. At some point, you have to put good things on your resume. They have a win over Michigan right now. That's good. It's good. But we've seen, and they have a good strength of schedule. That's good, too. But the committee does not reward you for good losses. We know this. We know this. The question for Carolina is going to be, they have two games this week, Miami, Wake Forest on the road. I think they at least have to win one of them. I don't think they can lose them both. Then they're going to have two cracks at Duke. I think by the end of the year, when we look at the teams who get into the NCAA tournament from the ACC, I think they're going to have that win over Duke on their resume. I think Miami's in. You know, Duke's good. Well, Duke can't beat Duke, which is why I always tell Mike Krzyzewski, you can't have the toughest schedule in the ACC ever because you don't have to play Duke at Cameron. That's simple.
It's true.
Speaking of Duke, they play Florida State tonight. Florida State's another one of those teams. They need this. They need this game at home. And Duke seems to be rounding into form. They had the COVID break. They came back. They lose to Miami. They just looked fatigued. They looked out of shape. Not to take away what Miami was able to do on the defensive end. Duke's not a great shooting team. There's not going to be a point where they are a great shooting team. They're athletic. They have more talent than anyone else in the ACC. They have great size. They got two dudes in Trevor Keels and Paolo Banchero who can get the ball to the rim and score. But yeah, there's going to be games, and tonight could be one of them, where at some point you have to make a shot. Can't just be all dunks and oops and steals. And they've been great on defense, creating offense from defense. They are a true vintage Duke team in that sense. But at some point, like that Miami game, it's going to come down to, hey, you've got the ball. You need a basket. How are you going to get it? And at some point, you got to make a jumper. I don't know how many of those games Duke will play this year, but they're already 0-1 in one of them. The home loss that they had to Miami. We'll see what Florida State can do. Obviously an athletic team, always athletic under Lenny Hamilton, always a big team. Unlike NC State, who had no answer for Mark Williams Saturday at Cameron, Florida State can run some bodies at Duke. They have some fouls to give to. The whistle will be important tonight. When Florida State's allowed to push and get away with the hand check and do some of those other things, they beat a lot of teams down there. That's what they do. Tighter whistle can get themselves into some trouble. I am legitimately interested. It is January. I don't have my glasses on. 18th. Mm-hmm. I can't see if that's a 6 or an 8.
It's tiny.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's January 18th. I am legitimately interested in two midweek ACC basketball games tonight.
This is good.
This is the first time I've been able to say that this season.
This is good.
So I'm going home, going to watch Carolina Miami. Can't make any promises that I'll be awake for the Duke Florida State game, but I will DVR it. We'll talk about it tomorrow on this program.
Nice. I'm excited about it.
The number one story of the day.
We're number one. We're number one.
So the big story last night from the NFL was the Rams. They win the playoff game. Matthew Stafford, their quarterback, who they gave up ostensibly 3 first-round picks for, delivers with his first playoff win of his career. And the Rams looked really good early. They were up 28-0 in the third quarter. It was 21-0 at the half. The game was over with the pick six, not even the lob six that Kyler Murray threw from the end zone. But Matthew Stafford, solid. 13-17, 208 yards, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. The turnovers have been the big problem for Matthew Stafford down the stretch because I know who Tom Brady is. I know who Aaron Rodgers is. I understand what the Bills look like on Saturday night. I do. The most talented team in the NFL, that's the Los Angeles Rams. They have the best roster. And last night they got Cam Akers back from an Achilles injury. That guy looked even better. I like, he got hurt in July? Huh?
Yeah.
How did he do that? Amazing.
What kind of team gets their first string running back back when the playoffs start?
I know. They looked awesome last night, and credit to Matthew Stafford for seeing a little bit of the big picture. It's not really about Matthew Stafford.
Feels great. What a team win, right? I mean, our defense played outstanding. Our special teams had huge plays that set up our defense for scores. Our offense did enough to put enough points on the board to win it. Just proud to be a part of this team. Playing against our defense, when we have a lead, that's tough as an opposing quarterback. So I knew it was going to be a long day, for Arizona, and just happy to get the win.
Yeah, Aaron Donald and now Von Miller. That's quite the defensive front that the Rams have. On the flip side of that, you'll remember the Cardinals for a while had the best record in the NFL at the halfway pole. Here's the thing about Cliff Kingsbury, the Cardinals coach. They lost 5 of their last 6 games this season. You're like, injuries, Nuke Hopkins, right? No big deal.
Matt Rhule got to him.
Yeah, something like that. It's fine. Last year, they lost 5 of their last 7 games. Okay, Kyler Murray wasn't all healthy. All right.
Pandemic.
19, his first year as the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, didn't have Kyler Murray. They're a bad team.
Yeah.
Lost 7 of their final 9 games. I'm detecting a pattern here. Well, that didn't happen at Texas Tech. He had Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech.
That's right.
2018, they lost their last 5 games, 17, 6 of 8, 16, 6 of 8, 15, 4 of 6, 14, 4 of 6, 13, 5 of 6. This from the Action Network. If you don't follow the Action Network on the Twitters, you should. Rant, coffee is for closers. Cliff Kingsbury is not drinking any coffee.
I'm sensing a pattern.
In the triangle, we use Roy Williams as the gold standard of a coach whose teams, if not every year, then 99% of the time he was the head coach, his teams, by the end of the year, always got better. Like, especially at this time of the year, they'd go on a 5-6 game winning streak. You'd like, must be January, must be February. Carolina's turning it on. That's what Roy Williams was. We now know the opposite end of the spectrum from Roy Williams on the coaching scale of that my team always gets better as the year goes along. That's Cliff Kingsbury. How does Cliff Kingsbury keep his job from this pattern?
His smile?
He's a good-looking dude.
He is.
Their offense, for the first half of the season, always seems to work. On the surface, you could look at this and go, well, it's the air raid, and they don't run the ball enough, and you can the old drive for show, putt for dough, pass for show, run for dough, right? There might be a little bit more to it than that. I'm not saying they need to fire Cliff Kingsbury. I'm just saying we know Brian Flores and what he did at Miami. He got fired for a whole lot less than this. So I'm not sure if this doesn't illustrate the double standard that we see in the NFL for white head coaches and black head coaches, but there might be something there.
Yeah.
There might be. But don't worry. They had MLK stickers last night, the NFL. So they solved it all.
We're good.
No big deal.
No, we're good.
No big deal.
Yep.